Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study in Amos chapter 8, verses 1 through 10, titled, As the Morning of an Only Son. The conclusion of this two-part study and other free materials with our contact and donation information can all be found at our website, bbfohio.com. Now we begin with a word about my new Rapture Ready t-shirt gift, and then our current events update, followed by our study in Amos chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. It is titled, As the Morning of an Only Son. This is part 1 of 2.
Well, first of all, hopefully you can see my shirt from there. Thanks to the Corsinis in Canada. I got a new shirt. It's purple. Yeah, it's nice and loose on me.
I gotta remember that now.
It's real soft. I just told Jenny that it's a really nice shirt and everything. I just hope none of these guys out there, you know, decide to use that as a target. Current events update. It was turned down. That's the problem. All right, number one. Jim and I were talking about this just a moment ago. Trust your government?
No.
How many of you know, again, can say most of the people you know probably do? In spite of everything they know. But a lot of them just don't know. And that's why from time to time we'll remind our folks that if you have any sense at all, you do not trust your government. It doesn't mean we're anti-government. I'm not anti-government. I just want our government to get back into a constitutional form. I want them to follow the Constitution and so forth.
This next story is so unbelievable, we didn't think it could possibly be true. But after receiving thousands of records and declassified reports from the Army, it's confirmed that during the Cold War, the United States military conducted secret tests on unsuspecting people in the city of St. Louis. A local sociologist will make her findings public tomorrow, but she spoke first to the I-Team's Lisa Zignan.
Lisa Martino Taylor's life work has been to uncover details of the Army's ultra-secret military experiments carried out in St. Louis and other cities during the 1950s and 60s.
This study was secretive for a reason. They didn't have volunteers stepping up and saying, yeah, I'll breathe zinc cadmium sulfide with radioactive particles.
These Army archive pictures show how the tests were done in Corpus Christi, Texas in the 1960s. In Texas, planes were used to drop the chemical, but in St. Louis, the Army placed chemical sprayers on buildings and station wagons. City officials were kept in the dark about the tests. The Cold War cover story was that the Army was testing smoke screens to protect cities from a Russian attack. The truth, according to Martino Taylor, was much more sinister.
It's pretty shocking. The level of duplicity and secrecy. Clearly, they went to great lengths to deceive people.
By making hundreds of Freedom of Information Act requests, she uncovered once classified documents that confirmed the spraying of zinc cadmium sulfide.
The greatest concentration of this compound was sprayed near the Pruitt-Igoe housing complex just south of downtown St. Louis. It was home to 10,000 low-income people, and an estimated 70% were under the age of 12.
Martino Taylor claims they all unknowingly inhaled this compound morning, noon, and night so the government could measure its effects on their lungs.
So this is in violation of all medical ethics, all international codes, and the military's own policy at that time.
In 1994, then-Congressman Richard Gephardt asked the Army to open its records and explain the St. Louis testing.
We want to make very sure that nothing went on that would harm anyone and that all the facts are out on the table.
Documents released in the 90s show the Army placed sprayers on this former Knights of Columbus building on Lindell and in Forest Park. The Army always insisted the chemical compound was safe. Martino Taylor believes documents prove otherwise.
There's a lot of evidence that indicates that people in St. Louis, in the city, particularly in minority communities, were subjected to military tests that was connected to a larger radiological weapons development and testing project.
For the first time, she links the St. Louis testing to a company called U.S. Radium, a company notorious for lawsuits involving radioactive contamination of its workers.
United States Radium had this reputation where they had been found legally liable decades prior for producing a radioactive powdered paint that killed many young women who painted fluorescent watch dials.
While the Army admits it added a fluorescent substance to the zinc-cadmium compound, details of whether it was radioactive remain secret. Documents uncovered to date indicate the Army never conducted follow-up studies to see whether the compound caused long-term health issues. In 1972, after years of crime, poverty, and decline, the government destroyed the Pruitt-Igoe housing complex.
Cover-up.
This is Igman, News Channel 5, I-Team.
Our ability U.S. Radium no longer exists. Martino Taylor has placed all of her research, including the declassified documents, online, and we'll link you to that data at KSDK.com. Now, she will make all of her findings public
KSDK
tomorrow at St. Louis Community College, Merrimack Campus.
They destroy those buildings in New York after 9/11 so that you couldn't see the,
email her at thermite
that was used and everything that shows that it was a inside job. It was a... That's the Building 7 is what it's known by most people in New York, had the same thing, had all kinds of documents. That's the one he's talking about, the Murrah building. And it, both of them, before they could do the full investigations, destroyed the buildings. I mean, it's just pure cover-up. And those women, they talk about the military's not doing follow-up studies and not admitting. Those women were taking their paint brushes and using their mouths to get the brush so to be nice and pointed and dipping it in that radioactive material and painting the hand painting those watches. These women, they didn't mention, I'm not knocking them, I'm glad they did this report, but they didn't mention the reason why they blew the lid off the thing is because the women were losing their teeth and getting sick, and then a bunch of them all started dying of cancer. And they were mostly young women. It's just, I'm not done, but we've detailed dozens of known cases and crimes against Americans committed by the federal government. Just to remind you of a couple, we mentioned the Tuskegee experiment. Now, some people might be watching this. If you're well-informed and you're thinking, well, I knew all this, I'm glad you do. You're the exception. Most people don't know this stuff. And so when I hear people... I bring things up, and I hear a bunch of people saying, "Well, I didn't know about it." It's time to remind you. The Tuskegee experiments, this is right on the CDC website. Now, how many of you have seen? Well, I'll come back to that in a minute. Here's a picture of some of the men that were experimented on by the American government without their knowledge. They had no idea. For 40 years, hundreds of African-American men with syphilis went untreated, given placebos and other ineffective treatments so that scientists could study the effects of the disease, syphilis, even after there was a cure. They knew they could cure these men. None of the men who had syphilis were ever told they had it. They were just told they had bad blood. They were also never given penicillin, despite the fact that it had become a standard treatment by 1947. How many of you heard of the University of Cincinnati and the Pentagon doing radiation experiments? Hundreds of people. I think it was into the hundreds. This report only mentions some of the information. The U.S. government's secret plan to experiment on American citizens explained. They did the experiments under the guise of looking for a treatment for terminal cancers. But critics say when Dr. Eugene Sanger and his team at the University of Cincinnati exposed at least 88 patients to whole body radiation, they were really doing it to help the Pentagon. The study was designed to test the effect of radiation on soldiers. Dr. David Eagleman, a clinical associate professor of community health at Brown University, said, quote, it was known when the study began that whole body radiation wouldn't treat the type of cancer these patients had. What happened here is one of the worst things this government has ever done to its citizens in secret. And probably 99% of its citizens don't even know it happened. Because your news media won't tell you. The news media is bought and paid for by the globalists and the pharmaceutical companies. Brought to you by Pfizer. Brought to you by Moderna. Brought to you by people who don't think you're even worth anything to them. They'll just kill you just to make a buck. Yep. There was the measles vaccine experiment. Experiments involving the measles vaccine were conducted from 1990 to 91 by the CDC. That was before Clinton. That was under George H.W. Bush. The doctors wanted to know if they could use it to replace natural antibodies in babies. To test this, doctors injected thousands of babies in the third world with the drug. The vaccine eventually led to several immune problems in the babies and caused many deaths, although the exact number is unknown. Knowing the drug had this effect, the government still tested on African American and Hispanic babies in Los Angeles. They injected more than 1,500 babies in the United States with the experimental drug. However, the study came to an end when it was discovered that African children were dying at an alarming rate up to 3 years after receiving the vaccinations. The CDC later admitted that the parents were unaware that their children were being injected with an experimental drug that had not yet been verified by the FDA. And by the way, was it yesterday you called, we were talking to your mom? I already had this, I didn't want to tell you. I was like, should I tell him? I'll wait and let him see it when I... But the young people now are, all of them that are having babies are dealing with this. They're trying to push vaccines and all this stuff. And what was it, the vitamin K, pushing that on the kids and giving them in huge doses that are causing problems and everything. Then there was the voluntary coercion COVID Wuhan China flu quote-unquote vaccine experiment. If the Lord tarries years from now, they're going to be talking about how stupid everybody was. Willingly being guinea pigs, and now they're paying the price. People are getting sick. They're dropping dead and getting all kinds of autoimmune disease, myocarditis, their heart inflamed, all kinds of crazy nonsense. Well, I didn't have time to put it on here before we came over from the house. It's on the news right now. The CDC is basically admitting a lot of this stuff you've been hearing here. They're admitting the stuff that we were being banned by the communists on Facebook and the communists on YouTube and the communists on Twitter, who censor information for political reasons, whether they know it's true or not. When they fact check you, it has nothing to do with facts. It's about politics. That's communism. That's how communists rule. And they kept this information from people, and they've hurt people. Yes, they by the millions just in the United States of America. Now the CDC has been so torn up by this internally, and most people aren't aware of it because the news media knows about it. They're hiding it. But it now is imploded at the CDC to the point they can't cover it up anymore. And they admitted today that there's this huge shakedown going on in the CDC. And they even announced that they're going to be not doing certain things they were going to do because people are quitting or resigning. And they're running for their lives. They're afraid they're going to be investigated and charged and sued. Now, it's a shame. But anybody who's been watching me teach, if you've been watching Peter Ruckman, if you've been watching and listening to, even going back, I remember back in the 80s, I listened to the old stuff from J. Vernon McGee. Guys like Chuck Smith, Chuck Missler, Dave Hunt, all those guys trying to tell people. And they're talking to Christians, but most of the Christians don't pay any attention. most of them want to hear, you know, they turn on the guy who's going to speak smooth things. I don't go to church to be depressed. That's what they tell us. That's why the pews, you know, there's always empty pews here. They're out there at the churches where they can go to church and not be depressed. What do they mean by be depressed? Well, first of all, if this depresses you, you got a problem spiritually. What you should get when you hear this is, number one, not depressed. You should get ticked off, number one. Second of all, it should light a fire and make you not be so apathetic and lazy. Amen. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. I'm one of you too. I have to have my fire lit once in a while. And then the other thing is, you also see that God said all this is going to happen. I mean, he's just fulfilling God's word. Do not trust your government. You heard that here. Number two, the terrible ten. And then there were two. The ten people who call themselves Republican in name only, rhinos who voted to impeach Donald Trump on lies, totally made up stuff. You say, why you defend Donald Trump? First of all, he's not in office anymore. Second of all, I don't care if he is in office. Lies are killing this country. Lies are taking, the Marxists are taking over our government because Christians are too lily-livered to take a stand. I don't care if his name's Donald Duck. If he's in office and he's doing the right thing and he's being attacked by the Marxists, I'm going to stand up for him. Only two of 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Trump remain. There's the 10. There's your two left. And they won their primaries, I guess, but they don't expect to win the election in November, so they'll probably be removed by and replaced by Democrats. But that's all that's left. And they're losers. They're shameless traitors. And here's one example of one of those bums. She lost her primary yesterday. Stood in front of about 20 people comparing herself to Abe Lincoln. Don't feel sorry. Now listen, this is what it's all about. Don't feel sorry for Liz Cheney. She increased her wealth by $36 million after serving just 6.5 years in Congress. Her salary is about $125,000 a year, I think. Add up 6.5 years, you're still, after taxes, not even $500,000. How did she get $36 million? I'll tell you, it's corruption. It's Pelosi and her husband get it. All right, so we're in Amos chapter 8. We're going to cover the first 10 verses and leaves 4 for next study, but that's because the next 4 have some stuff that's going to be very interesting, but in this there are a few verses that all go together. You'll see as we read through it. Let's go ahead and read. I'm going to start verse 1. You jump in on the even with me through verse 10. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and every one mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned, as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day, and I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Amen. All right, so we begin here with a vision of a basket of fruit. Verses 1 and 2, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. I love these kind of conversations. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. In other words, it's harvest time. That's the picture of the basket of the summer fruit. It's harvest time. Now, something that takes a little getting used to, but you'll hear Bible verses quoted and really quoted out of context, but it's kind of like no harm, no foul, so you don't say much about it. But how many of you heard the people, they even pray, say, Lord, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord will send. But that harvest that Jesus is talking about isn't the church. It's the end of the Mosaic law when he came and was harvesting. At the time, it was a time of God judging Israel. And after they crucified Christ, the transition to the book of Acts, the harvest ended up being a huge percentage of the Jews were killed. 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. We talked about that in the last study. And that's what it is here. This is, although summer fruit in a basket, I get excited. God's candy store. Peaches, when they're good and ripe. Oh, and, you know, apples. We were naming all the different kinds of, I'm still a yellow, is it called Yellow Delicious? But I want Granny Greens in my apple pies, nice tart. I'm making myself hungry. Anyway, we love fruit. I mean, I do. I can't speak for everybody in the room. And that's a good thing. But it also tells you that it's the harvest. And that's what Jesus is picturing when he talks about it. And here he's talking, it's the Lord talking to Amos. And he's using that, telling him that God's patience is up. Time is up. We talked about that Sunday. God has a time. And he allows men time, and yet he is omniscient. He knows when that time is up. It doesn't shock him or surprise him. And the men get in trouble with God when they try to figure out the mind of God. That's the whole Calvinism, Arminianism thing is all about. I just wish they'd all shut up. I mean, I don't really have any use to even... People try to get me in debates and everything about that. And I'm like, you know what? I know what the Bible says and I believe it. How that works out in the mind of God is a whole other issue that I'm not going to try to touch. But I know the Bible says that God foreknew those who would be saved. And he chose to save those who would believe the gospel, and that they are predestined then to be conformed to the image of his son. When you go beyond that and you start developing all this stuff, that's when you have trouble, because that's when division is going to take place. If we just stick to what the Bible says, we may not understand it all, but if we'd all just stick to what the Bible says, we're not going to have those disagreements. Well, we know one thing. God has his schedule. And he's telling Amos, time's up. Verse 3, and the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. So there'll be no more praise bands. No more, you know. I'm not saying, there's nothing wrong with putting your hands in there if you wanted to. Here, I hope you know, as long as you're not trying to attract attention to yourself and you're truly praising the Lord, the Bible says lift up holy hands everywhere. I don't have a problem with that. But I go to these places where they have these praise bands and stuff, and they just put their hands in there and start waving immediately. There's no rule. It's just like on cue, you know? And then the words are meaningless. and repetitious even when there is a meaning. They say it over and over and over, like they're whipping everybody up. And we talked about that. They praise me with their lips, their hearts far removed. God had been putting up with that, but now those days are going to come to an end. The Lord has literally warned Israel for nearly three centuries at this point. He started warning, and I mean warning specifically. He's always warned his people, but he's warning specifically about the Assyrian captivity. For nearly three centuries. You can go back and read it in 2 Kings when it started. Or actually, at the end of 1 Kings, I think it started. So, and I'd just like to compare that to the country you and I live in, the United States of America. First, Israel rebelled from Judah in 976 BC. The judgment began in 740 BC. That's a total of 236 years. Now, America rebels from Britain, 1776. I believe, first of all, that first rebellion up there with Israel, that was ordained of God.